Colossians chapter 2. We'll learn about tonight. Where's Joshua at, Ed?
They were in class when I came up through the gym.
Spiritual circumcision, Colossians chapter 2. Now, on this spiritual circumcision right here, this is something that Dr. Rupp used to talk about, and I don't know if he came up with it, if somebody else came up with it, I don't know if that term or what, but there was a Restoring the Lord crowd would critique him, and they said, spiritual circumcision, whatever that is. And they didn't even have a clue, but instead of looking at it and trying to figure out, what's he talking about? What is this? What is spiritual circumcision? What's he even talking about? Which they didn't like him, so they just didn't automatically throw off on it. But if you go through the references, that's what it is.
Amen.
And so go to hold your place in Colossians. So I'm never going to be able to get with that now. Go there and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Alright. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about your spirit, your soul, and your body is what he's talking about. So according to that verse right there, we have a soul, a spirit, and a body. So he goes through here and talks about this, all right? And so he explains it there. You got a body, soul, and spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So you have a body, soul, and spirit. Now turn to Genesis chapter 35. Chapter 35. Now, here's what you find out about your soul. This is chapter 35. Look at verse 16. Genesis 35:16, the Bible says, so this is where Jacob and Rachel are laying, they're all making this travel here. And it says, verse 16 says, they journeyed from Bethel, there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, and then you see what it says in parentheses right there? What does it say? Before she died.
Amen.
So when you die, your soul departs. And right there you get that. Genesis 35:18. And so that shows that your soul is inside of you and that it departs, all right? Now, there's a place over there with the Apostle Paul one time where the dude fell out of the window and hit the ground and died. Paul goes over there to look to talk to him, and he's going to raise him from the dead, he says something that I thought was odd. He said, don't fear, his soul is still within him. And he raised him from the dead. So the Bible says that when you die, that you're considered dead when your soul leaves. It says that her soul was in departing. So her soul left. Genesis 35:18. Alright, so you have a soul that's inside of you, and when you die, it leaves you. Okay, so that's what you know. And just remember, there's always going to be exceptions to every rule because God does something different sometimes because he needs to make a point about something. But for the general rule, here's what happens. So your soul is inside of you, and when you die, it leaves. Okay? So, just so you'll know, that's why the Apostle Paul says, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, all right? Now, look at Luke. Go to Luke chapter 16. Now, your soul is inside of you. Now, you get all these people and you start asking all these different philosophers, you know, what do you think your soul is? Well, I think it's a little nut that's inside of your head that controls your whole body. And you get different people have different ideas on what the soul is, and you don't tell them what you might hear.
Yeah.
But according to the Bible, it's easy to find out what it is, all right? So we know this. When you die, your soul leaves, okay? All right. So when you die, it leaves the soul. Now, Luke chapter 16, the Bible says this. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. So if the beggar died, where'd the soul go? It left, right? So we know that. The beggar died, it says, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He wasn't. His body wasn't. Because his body was still going to be laid in there. They would have buried it, seen it, threw it in the trash, whatever they would do with the beggar.
Yeah.
But it says that the angels... It says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. All right? And then it says, and was buried. So you know he was buried. And it looked like the beggar didn't get to be buried. But he died. He was buried. So his soul left him. Right?
Amen.
According to Genesis 35. So then he says, in verse 24, and he cried. You'll see, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So, he gets there, and he's got this. He's got eyes. And that's his soul. So, his soul's got eyes.
Amen.
And it says, and so, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. All right? So, if you're in torments, that means you can feel something.
Yep. All
right? So, your soul can feel. It's got eyes, and it can feel. And he says, and seeth Abraham afar off, because his eyes, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, so you can talk. So you can talk. And if you're talking, then you got to have a brain.
Yeah.
Because you got to look, you got to be able to figure out what you're looking, you got to form words, you got to do all this stuff. So obviously everything that you've had before, you've got a memory. So you got a memory. You can talk. You got to have a brain. And when I say you, I'm talking about your soul. We're talking about the soul. And he says, he's in torment, so you know he can feel. He says, and seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in the bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. All right? So, you see a finger and a tongue. Tongue. Is that right? Is that right? Tongue. Tongue-way. I'm from Tongue-way. So he's got eyes, he can feel, he can talk, he's got a memory, he's got a brain to be able to form words. He can think because he's saying, this is going to take care of this problem I've got. Bring this guy over, this will take care of the problem. So he's got an ability to think. He's got all that ability, and he's in hell. All right? So when it comes to your soul and what it looks like, and obviously it looks just like you did before because he recognized Lazarus, and he knew that there was an Abraham's bosom, and he seen he was with Abraham, so he reasoned that's got to be Abraham. That's Lazarus, and he acknowledged Abraham sent him over here. So he knows Lazarus, and he knows who he is. So Lazarus had to look the same as he did when he was before. So your soul looks just like you. It's just like you.
Amen, brother.
And it can feel, it can see, it can touch, all those things. All right? So it's just like you. It's made just like you. It's got toes, legs, fingers, everything. It's just like you. So your soul is just like you. And when you die, your soul leaves. And it's going to go to one or two places.
Amen.
It's going to go to heaven, or it's going to go to hell. The reason heaven, that's Abraham's bosom, that's before Christ arose and brought captivity captive. Now, all right? So that's what your soul is, according to the Bible.
Amen.
All right, turn to this is our body. This is what we look like. That's easy to figure out. So nobody has to explain nothing on your body. Now your spirit, turn to the book of Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel. Conversation with the Lord, and he gets down to let's just start up in verse 3. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay snooze upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So he prophesies, the bones come together. And down in verse 9, he says, Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so what comes into them is this breath. And so in Genesis, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10, you see how that wind right there comes into them and they breathe. And if you go to Genesis, book of Genesis there, what happens is that when God makes Adam, it says he breathed. Let's turn over to Genesis. Alright? Turn over to Genesis. Now we're going to get to spiritual circumcision, but to get there, we need to take the long road. It says, The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So you got the body, soul, and spirit right there in Genesis 2:7. It says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so breath, that breath right there, which is your wind, which is your spirit, that's Genesis 2:7. And so your soul looks just like you do. Then your body, which is your outward appearance. Obvious. And then you got your soul, which is inside you, which is inside your body. It's just like you are. And then you got the spirit, which is the wind, and God put this special spirit inside of you. Now, so what you got is a body, soul, and spirit. It's like this right here. Body, soul, and spirit. They're all together. They're all together in one. Alright? And when you're born, they're connected. Like if this was glued together, they'd be all connected. Just like in the Old Testament, that's the way it was in the Old Testament. All right? So you're all together. Let me get to, Ezekiel 18. Go to Ezekiel 18. And so what happens is that your soul is stuck to it. And so whatever your flesh does, because it's stuck. So if you sin, if your flesh sins, your soul, which is stuck to you, your soul sins. Alright, so in the Old Testament, it would talk about your soul would sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18, look at verse 4. Ezekiel 18:4. He said, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So right there in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, you see that the soul, he's talking about the soul. And the reason he is because the soul stuck. The soul is stuck to your body. And so anytime your body would do anything, it would defile the soul too. If you defile the flesh, you defile your soul. And so they're all three stuck together. They're all three stuck together in the Old Testament. And when you're born, they're all three stuck together. And so you got your soul and your spirit and your body, all right? They're all stuck together. Turn back to, go to Colossians. Go back to Colossians where we started. I drew a picture today, Joshua.
Yes.
I draw every day. I try to look at those pictures that you draw. I try to get an idea of what you do. Like, so I drew a man's face. I'm trying to put the shade up in here, make it look like a rye. It's better than a stick man, but it wasn't as good as yours. Colossians, I don't know anything about that. Anyway, Colossians chapter 2. Here we are. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Now, let's start back in verse 9. He says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also," talking about Christ, he says, "in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." All right? So here's what he's saying. Spiritual circumcision. It's the circumcision made without hands. Thus, it's not physical. It's spiritual. Whatever that is. Spiritual circumcision. It's made without hands. Imagine that. That's hard to understand, ain't it? All right. He says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." Now, in the Old Testament, when they were circumcised, you know what they do to a male baby when they're born. That's how they get circumcised. In the New Testament, here's what it is. Spiritual circumcision. Made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So here's what happens. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside you and He cuts your body away from your soul and your spirit. Alright? He saves your soul and your spirit. Now, it's still on there. It just ain't stuck together no more.
Amen.
So when this flesh sins now,
amen,
it doesn't defile this.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's still stuck together. So you got your body, you got your soul and your spirit. You're lost. When you get saved, God comes through and He cuts it away. Does it? Boom. And there you go. It's still sitting on there, but it's not defiling the soul and the spirit. Now, he says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation," this operation, "who hath raised him from the dead." Alright? So that's what happens. So God comes through and he cuts this soul and spirit away from this body. Which is why we still have trouble in the flesh. That's why when you read the whole New Testament, if you can read the New Testament based on this right here, and this concept of realizing when I sin, you know, people say, "Oh, you just think you can do anything, still go to heaven." This is why.
Yeah.
Because I am not defiling the soul and spirit no more. The problem is God's cut this flesh away, and now He saved this. This is saved. This ain't saved. This flesh ain't saved. Look at hold a place there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4 instead. 1 Corinthians 15 is about the rapture, and it talks about that. But here's what I'm wanting. 1 Thessalonians 4 talking about the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13, all right? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That's talking about people that's dead. He says, "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and that's what we believe, if we're saved, "even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now what happens is, when you go to a funeral home and somebody dies, you see their body right there. And so a normal person will look at that and say, "God ain't going to bring him with them. He's right here." But when he says he's going to bring him with him, he's talking about this. All right? Their soul or spirit. All right? So here's what he says. "For if we believe that Jesus died and was rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I don't know about you, and I may have this completely wrong, but I've heard a lot of people talk about this. And you'll hear, and I heard Sam get preach a message on this. And I'm not, and he's way up here. I just didn't get what he's trying to tell me. He kept talking about, he says, "Now there's a big question. Why is God going to let those people rise first, and not us?" And I thought, I ain't never thought about that. He goes through this talk. But I'm sitting here and I keep reading it, I'm thinking, when it says that they're going to rise first, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, I think all that means is they're going to rise out of the grave. All right? Because then it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, like he didn't have to bring us, we're already here, remain, shall be caught up together with them." So I always thought he just raised and then they go up together. Now I don't know the other way, they may go further, I don't know, that's just what I think. I think they raise him up out of the ground, they go up together. All right? Now, so he's bringing his soul and stuff back, and what's going to happen is, according to 1 Corinthians 15, this is going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. It's going to turn from corruption to incorruption. So my body is going to change in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He's going to bring his stuff back, it's all coming back together, and I'm coming back, and I'm going to be perfect then.
Yeah.
My body's going to be fixed. He's going to put it all back together. Look at Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews. This operation, this spiritual operation, is performed by God and is performed by the Word of God, by His words. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. Now, you get to see this again. Look what He says. Now, pay attention. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing," all right, that means he's cutting something, "piercing even to the dividing asunder," so he's dividing something, "he's dividing asunder of soul and spirit," see, soul and spirit, and of the joints tomorrow, which is your body.
Amen.
And is discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is cutting away your soul and spirit from the joints and marrow, which is your body. So this operation, go back to Colossians now. Does it make sense? Clear as mud? So here's what he says back in Colossians chapter 2. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, which is taking your soul and spirit away from the joints and marrow. Boom, that's what happens when a person's saved. As soon as they're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, cuts that away, makes that different, and it's completely different. And he cuts the sins of the flesh away from here. He saves this. He takes it with him when they die and departs. When they die and departs and goes on to heaven to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. So it goes straight into heaven when you die. All this stuff about purgatory or any other stuff, not true. Alright, he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Alright, so you're buried with him in baptism. This baptism is not what happens 5 days later when they take him up here to this thing. This baptism, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This baptism is also without hands. It's spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, you're baptized by the Spirit, okay? So you got spiritual circumcision, you got spiritual baptism. All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ, you ask Him to save you, you acknowledge Him, however you end up doing it. There's not a special key word you got to say. Once you believe, that's what it is. Once you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you believe that, and you are accepting that, then you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Once you believe that, that's what happens. Boom, it happens. A lot of people are probably saved the moment they release from that bench to walk forward. They're probably saved right then.
Yeah.
There is something that's holding them right there in their mind, and they're just sitting here, I don't know. That doubt, should I get saved? I'm going to do it. Right then, right when they make that decision, they just believe in the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to go up there. Now, some people's confused. And some people may go up there saying, I just don't know. I just need to talk to somebody. You know, that's different.
Right.
But there is a spot where somebody finally decides, amen, I'm going to do this. I believe. And once they believe, I think they're saved.
Amen.
The guy gets out of the pew, he believes, and he's going up there and dies of a heart attack before he gets there. That'd be my luck. If it's going to happen, anybody, it happened to me. But if that was to happen to somebody, once they released,
yeah,
once cool they do that, according to Acts chapter 10, the Bible says that when Peter was preaching,
mm-hmm,
when Peter that's was right preaching, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them,
yeah,
because they believed right then while
that's
he was
right
preaching.
Amen.
So there is a thing about being about belief. But anyway, the Holy Spirit comes in and performs this as soon as the person gets saved. He performs this, takes his soul and spirit away, cuts it away, where it's just sitting on top of it now. And when you die, it goes there. But don't worry, because he's bringing it back. He's going to change your body. Let's go ahead and just read that. Right there in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 51. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, not everybody's going to die, but everybody's going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, which is this body that was left over, the joints and the marrow, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death. Where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who's given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, when the Lord comes back, it's all going to change. It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But at salvation, what happens is spiritual circumcision, spiritual baptism. And that's what happens to a person when they get saved. And that's what Colossians chapter 2 is talking about. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. Now that you got all this in your head, you got it all figured out. He says, in whom also you are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh for the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now look what it says. You, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. That's Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All right? And so that's what happens at salvation. That's what happens at salvation. That's what happened to everybody in here. And that's why, because this body, this flesh, when you ain't drink pop or ain't no chocolate for 7 days, and some kid takes it to you at school, and you say, I don't want that chocolate egg! It's because this ain't been saved yet. She says, look at me after the rapture, and I'll
bring some more with
you. All right, Brother Nathan, you want to pray for us and dismiss us?
Good God.